Texas Talking. Oh,
what was that that you said?
Texas Talking. Ah,
gonna hoop upside your head.
Texas Talking.
Tell me, who can you trust when Texas guys are and Texas guys love?
Texas Talking.
Oh. Hi, this is Alan Van Fleet. I'm with McDermott, Will, and Emery, and I'm one of the lawyers representing Wallace Hall in the impeachment proceedings that are going on this week before the House Committee on Transparency. But now, for political reporting that's truly full, fair, and transparent, here's the Tribcast with Reeve Hamilton.
Thank you. This is reporter Reeve Hamilton here with the Tribcast for the fourth week of October. Joining me is editor Emily Ramshaw.
How did Mr. Van Fleet have enough time to record that this week? Shouldn't he have been otherwise engaged?
We spent hours in the Capitol, which we'll talk about in a second, and there was only so much to do.
Got it. Hi, everyone.
Everyone includes reporter Nina Satija.
Hi, Reeve.
Hello. And host of Agenda Texas at
sure,
KUT and the Texas Tribune, the one and only Ben Philpott.
Can we FOIA that
introduction?
I was just wondering. Could we?
Oof. Yeah. I mean, get in line, though. I mean, the FOIAs are flying left
I'd
and
like
right.
to have the outtakes on that.
It'll take at least 10 business days.
They call them One Take Allen. There are no outtakes.
One Take Allen. All right. Good, good.
Mr. Van Fleet and I and a number of other people spent most of their Tuesday in we were told it's a historical thing, this impeachment hearing. You know, they're looking into.
I thought you meant the Capitol.
Yeah, it is historical.
Yeah, yeah. Spent most of the day in this historical thing.
Yeah, the Capitol.
I'm sorry you had to go back there. We really try not to send you, except for every other year.
I'm gonna go again today. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. I'm gonna have to go again for day two, Wednesday afternoon.
Did someone let you know that you're wearing jeans?
Oh, I can wear whatever I want to the Capitol. I've got special allowances. But the real issue is, so the, you know, as people that listen to this know, or that read the Tribune, you know, read the stories I write in the Tribune, know.
The field of people is getting smaller and smaller.
As you three know, there's an effort underway there's a legislative committee that's investigating whether or not they should file articles of impeachment against the University of Texas System Regent Wallace Hall. If ultimately he is impeached, he will be the first non-elected official in the state to be impeached. And so it's sort of a historical thing. It's honestly, it was like really boring. But Ben, do you have a question?
No, I was just
I have
think,
a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you really get impeached for just filing a bunch of open records requests? I mean, as I read all of Reeves' coverage, me and the two other people around here read all of Reeves' reporting.
Poor Reeves sitting right next to you.
Right. I just kept sort of asking myself that same question, which is like, is this what impeachment is for? To impeach people who file too many open records requests? I can think of a lot of reporters who should be impeached.
Well, Jim Pitt seems to think that all the evidence is clear and it all points to impeachment. Isn't that essentially what he said?
Yes, but it is and it isn't a little more than filing open records requests, right? So the charges leveled against Hall are that he's sort of overstepped his bounds in his digging through the records of UT Austin. And I think you will find like the Association of Governing Boards, which sort of sets best practices for regents and that sort of thing, has said that, you know, the role of the regent is not really to be investigative. And he clearly has taken on an investigative approach to what he's doing. His requests have generated 800,000 documents. The UT Austin Open Records Office has gone from
two to seven people. That's pretty amazing.
They have a full-time lawyer that more or less works 100% on Hall's requests.
Especially when you're talking about fiscal responsibility in a university setting, having to add five people to your staff.
And do lawmakers think this is also an abuse of power? I mean, since he can do it, he's...
Right. They think it's an abuse of power. Pitts was very clear that he thinks Pitts, who's the House Appropriations Chairman and has been one of Hall's most vocal detractors, thinks that it's a witch hunt to get rid of Bill Powers. And, you know, it's interesting. There's been this controversy and people have cried wolf over the firing of Bill Powers for years now. And this used to be, I personally think, a sort of a more interesting situation, it was a much more substantive debate in 2011 about research and sort of the future of the university. Were they going to become more business-like?
Yeah, there seemed to be a difference in philosophy on where the university should go.
But now it's just a pissing
match. You sort of peel away. Those layers have been peeled away, and now as Representative Lyle Larson said, this might just be bad blood between a regent and a president. Because obviously Hall has decided to dedicate a lot of his time to looking into UT Austin. And he said he's found things that make him suspicious about operations there, such as favoritism and admissions processes, for example. But is he not allowed to do that? I mean, that's sort of what the committee will decide.
Well, now, I mean, Power's job is pretty safe now. I mean, they beat Oklahoma. So what's – I don't understand what the problem is.
And yesterday he was named the chairman of the – Association of American Universities, which is the most prestigious group of research universities. It's really, you know, he's the top of the ivory tower now.
You don't want to fire somebody who's at that. You don't want to
unless right now the regents have had a pretty steady stream of arguably negative press statewide. You know, you don't want to get rid of the chair of the AAU unless you want like a UVA type national, you know, outrage situation.
Oh, right. Yeah, that thing at Virginia was a mess. They fired and then brought
and
her back.
Rehired the president.
Yeah.
As someone who does not cover higher education at all, can I just suggest that, you know, people just want to impeach someone after David Dewhurst's suggestion? Maybe it's like a voodoo doll kind of thing.
Well, David Dewhurst's suggestion.
His suggestion came late.
To impeach Obama. I think it might be the other way around, that his suggestion was like, they can impeach that guy.
I think there's a correlation. This guy.
Dewhurst, who is clearly, I mean, just, you know, if you, based on his outburst in the legislative chamber earlier this year, does not appear to be on the regent's side necessarily.
Oh, right. He got so
If you can't impeach, you know, Obama, let's go for somebody.
Well, actually, that's an interesting
point. Something to do.
It's an interesting point, though, because the impeachment at the federal level is like high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right. And at the state level, it's not really high crimes and misdemeanors. What you want it to be.
At the state level, it occurs so rarely that there's no set reason for it. So it's basically – an impeachable offense is something that a majority of the House members think is an impeachable offense. And it doesn't have to be illegal. It just has to, you know, this has to be something they don't like.
So, sorry to put you on the spot, but when was the last time someone was impeached and what did they do?
Oh, it was, I think, 1975, and it was Judge O.P. Carrillo, and he did something bad.
Like criminal.
Everyone would say, that's an impeachable offense.
He went to jail.
There was a criminal offense. Yeah. And who was on that? There was someone interesting on that impeachment committee.
Oh, on the Sarah Weddington was on the impeachment committee.
Right.
So was Sinfronia Thompson, who's still in the legislature. So that was the last
one. They should bring her back for this impeachment committee.
And before that was Pa Ferguson, who was the governor.
Ah, yes. But
that
luckily.
That was 1917.
Luckily, we had Ma with us.
That's right. Yeah, we don't have, there's no Ma Hall.
To fill the rest of the term.
And luckily Ross Ramsey was here to document that one for us. Right.
he was just 40 at the time.
But you know, to Emily's point about reporters getting impeached, well, we can, I mean, we're obviously not, you know, public employees, but Ben, KUT, I mean, you're all public employees. If one of you files too many FOIA requests.
No, but it's not just the FOIA request. And they said multiple times, it's not the volume, it's the contents. And there's all this disagreement, or there's significant concern that Hall saw private information that he wasn't supposed to about students and employees.
He sought it or he received it?
He saw it.
He saw it.
Like,
so was that of his own volition? Or
how
could
he see it? I mean, somebody would have had to make those available.
Well, it looks, you know, based on the testimony yesterday, and the testimony yesterday was heavily anti-Hall. I mean, they only heard from witnesses that were anti-Hall. A number of the members of the committee appear to already have developed a pretty negative opinion of Hall. But everyone was pointing their fingers at the UT system lawyers. So they heard from the open records officials at UT Austin who said, look, we tried to withhold information from him, and the UT system lawyers came in and said that we couldn't and forced us to show him stuff we didn't want to show him. The UT system has sort of conceded that he potentially saw student information he shouldn't have seen
What does that mean?
That hasn't
Social
been really...
security numbers? Grades?
I mean, really anything involving students, unless you have a stated, written educational purpose for looking at it,
you're not allowed to see.
But does that fall on him
or does that fall on the people?
Right. Well, that's the question.
That's one of the questions.
I feel like
so,
that falls on the
so
attorney.
If the system was forcing them to do this, and you know, then they could be in trouble. So Hall could also say. I mean, we could see Hall say that. Well, he was just doing what the system lawyers. They didn't stop him, so he just did whatever. Right. And of course, you know, if he accidentally saw something, that's not his fault. You know, there's questions about. He may have shared the information with his lawyers. Was he allowed to do that? Because he has private lawyers involved in this. So there's a lot of questions about student information, and they sort of talked about it, but like we're doing right now, like they couldn't actually articulate what, if anything, had been shared that shouldn't have been. There was some question about like employees' tax information and stuff. But I mean, there was a sort of an interesting moment where the open records, the head, the custodian of records for UT Austin was like, said, yeah, I'm scared about sort of legal liabilities that, you know, I may be on the hook for this. And Trey Martinez Fisher advised him to get a lawyer, although he said that the system has prevented him from getting his own personal lawyer.
Huh.
And Fisher said, well, you better get one.
Wow. Fascinating.
Well, I got to say, this has been a lot more interesting than I thought it would be.
You did bring your pillow to this Tribcast.
I heard it was going to be higher education. I don't know.
there are some interesting issues in it, but the thing is that the committee, it's clear that there are members of the committee that do not really understand what's being discussed or what's going on. And the questioning is so sort of sloppy.
Like so it's a lot like during
like
a regular session.
Session.
It's just so sloppy and haphazard that like a line of questioning that could take 5 minutes goes on forever and ever. Like I made a tweeted something yesterday like that, you know, the committee members have never met a point that they couldn't reiterate. I mean, so we were in there from 10 to 6:30 or so.
But now what does impeachment mean then? I mean, there's impeachment, really impeachment, or are they just firing this guy and voting to fire him? Like, why is it called impeachment if he wasn't elected? Isn't that like, am I totally wrong? Am I just completely
it's no, you
wrong?
Can impeach. You can impeach any public official. But impeachment, just for fun little trivia. So impeachment is just if the committee recommends articles of impeachment to the House, and the House, a majority of the House, agrees that he should be impeached,
and
sends it to the Senate. Then he's impeached, right? It's like how Bill Clinton was impeached, but he wasn't removed.
Right.
The Senate will then decide whether or not to convict him. And if they can convict him, then he's out. Okay. But once he's been impeached, then his duties are suspended. So they don't really have to go to that step if their goal is just to get rid of him. But it's been an interesting time, and it'll be interesting to see when, you know, Hall actually gets to tell his side of the story, how it goes. But I mean, I think it was clear that he has behaved unlike
other regents.
Any regent before him, maybe not any regent, but other regents, typical regents, definitely regents in recent memory. And, you know, if the only precedent you have to go on is the historical precedent, it's sort of up in the air what the committee will decide to do.
I mean, how big of a divide does this present between, like, Dewhurst and Perry? I mean, if Dewhurst got sort of emotional about, you know, thinking that the regents were going after Powers, would Dewhurst even take this up in the Senate?
It's hard
would
to get
would Dewhurst away. Be the lieutenant governor?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how long this drags out and obviously what happens.
I mean, wouldn't you have to call you'd have to call a special session to bring everyone back in to vote, right?
For impeachment purposes,
you
the
don't.
Speaker can call back the House with 50 signatures, which I think
which
50
he's got.
Would be pretty easy to get.
Right.
What about the Senate? Same thing? The lieutenant governor can call him back?
No. Once the,
I see you. I'm sorry.
Once the impeachment has happened,
then the Senate has to become
a court.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to wear the wigs, like, you know, the British system.
Oh,
it's
excellent.
Awesome.
I mean, great, because it's a rule where
Whitmire's
they had to be in session. If the rule were there had to be a special session, we never even would have gotten this far because Perry wouldn't have allowed it.
No.
But, I mean, I think as this has drawn on, it's sort of like I said, like, some of the more substantive issues have sort of been stripped away, or the broader issues, I should say, more than the more substantive issues. So it used to be sort of just higher education in general. Where is it going to go? And there was controversy at A&M, controversy at UT. And now it's just narrowed and narrowed. Like a friend of mine that was at the hearings yesterday said, it's sort of like an onion where we've peeled away all the big layers. And in each time, it just makes you want to cry a little more. But we're down to it. It's clearly just sort of there's a narrow focus on UT Austin, which lends credence, you know, rightfully or wrongfully, to the notion that this is a targeted anti-UT Austin leadership effort that's been going on for the last few years. Hmm. And that is definitely a big divide between Perry and Dewhurst. Dewhurst is a big fan of Bill Powers, and Perry is apparently not. But Perry is having a great time with his alma mater, A&M. I mean, he's off in Israel.
Opening up new schools.
Opening up a new branch campus. I mean, the fortunes of UT and A&M right now are just so dramatically different in terms of public policy activity. And just, you see this in fundraising. You know, UT announced they had a record fundraising year in their last fiscal year, and it was like $400 million almost, and it was amazing. And then A&M comes in and says, we also had a record year. It was well over $700 million.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're just, it's an interesting time.
It is. I mean, it's all, I know I get accused a lot of bringing it all back to sports, but it's like ever since A&M left to go to the SEC, the football team has been better than UT. The publicity's been better at A&M than UT. You've got these, you know, branch campuses all around the world opening up. Are you taking a trip to the latest branch campus? Didn't you go to the one in Dubai?
A&M? Israel?
No, the one
you
previous.
You went to Qatar.
Oh,
Qatar, sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah, I did go there.
But so
are you
going to
go to Israel?
I'm not going to Israel.
Yeah, I'm going to Israel later. I'm going to wait till they actually start break ground on it, which could be a while because they have to change some laws in Israel and raise a lot of private monies to privately fund a public university or something.
but anyway.
But let's move on to politics.
Hot dog.
Well, I mean, I think one of the lessons of the last few weeks is that the you know, we think that the slates, the tickets are sort of lining up, but they're totally malleable still. And I think we've seen some movement in the ag commissioner's race, and maybe Nina can fill us in on that.
I'd also like to say that I'm going to make an important candidate announcement tomorrow. Just
are you
in keeping with all of these emails I've been getting?
Are you going
to
run?
New announcements. Yeah. I have an important announcement to make. I don't know if it follows trib policy.
Apparently Reeves running for the AG.
I announced my write-in campaign for AG at the Tribune Festival, and Emily was recently drafted via Twitter for something.
For the GOP nomination for something.
Yeah, just anything.
For
they want
anything. Just anything.
So
just
what are you announcing for?
Land commissioner?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, I think that's a cool office.
Nina likes land.
All right, well
anyway.
Let's stick with what we know today.
with what we know today.
We'll do tomorrow's news on next week's
podcast. Right, exactly, yeah. So I had a very, very fun conversation with Ted Nugent yesterday. He answered his cell phone right away. It was great. He said, hello, who's this? And I said, hey, Ted. And I felt like I wasn't sure if I should really refer to him by his first name. But
Mr. Nugent?
Theodore.
Yeah, you know, he went with it, and we had a great conversation. He tried to cut me off. He said, I'm covered in blood because I'm hanging up this ram that my wife just hunted. And I said, no, Ted, I'm not going to let you go. You have to talk to me. And
why were you – could we get to why you were talking to Ted Nugent?
I was talking to Ted Nugent. I'm sorry.
He's not running.
He's not running for statewide office. But he will be the official treasurer and co-chair of former state rep Sid Miller's campaign for agriculture commissioner, which was just recently announced.
Which is just delightful.
Actually, one of my favorite things about this is that – so let's say – I know Emily has her reservations about this, but let's say Kinky Friedman makes it to the general election, and so does Sid Miller.
Oh, I'm counting on that matchup.
You know, Willie Nelson. Kinky Friedman is a musician and songwriter in his own right, but Willie Nelson has always backed his political efforts. So we could have Ted Nugent versus Willie Nelson, and it would be like the ultimate showdown for the soul of Texas culture.
You know,
culture.
Willie Nelson actually has just filmed some ads for Austin Water Utility, I believe, and he's going to be on TV soon talking about the drought and conserving water. Just side.
Meanwhile, down. Nolan Ryan's on TV pitching the pitching Prop 6. Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of interesting music stars out there today. But anyway, yes, that it's an interesting move for Nugent. He's not new to political campaigns, but this is, I think, or at least he tells me, the first time he's been like this officially involved, and it is kind of an unusually local race for him.
What is his like connection with Sid Miller of all people?
Well,
both like the land and they both like to hunt.
Right. that's probably a pretty accurate assessment.
I think they've both been immortalized in Doonesbury cartoons.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's one thing. Well, he also taught, and I don't think I can use this word in the podcast, but he said,
you probably can.
All right.
Well, unless it begins with, you know, what letter does it mean?
We can always bleep it out
begins
later.
With SH.
Oh, that's fine.
That
Shiny. All right, Shiny Ribs is our theme song.
Let's see what happens. He said he's in touch with shit kickers all across America.
Oh, that is definitely a word
you can use. All right. Yes. Coming from a public radio background, I wasn't sure. But
oh, no. Ben says that all the time.
On the air.
On the air.
I was going to drop an F-bomb right now, but we'll move on.
JJ Baskin's kids are listening to this.
Yeah, but you know, right. No, I did press him. I said, Ted, why, you know, how did you get in touch with Sid Miller? Or, like, do you guys talk on the phone? Or what is it? He said, well, I'm in touch with shit kickers across America and, you know,
feral hog hunters across America
with those helicopter hunters. So I guess the way he tells it is, you know, a lot of people in Texas were suggesting this to him, and eventually Sid Miller's campaign got in touch and he said, yeah, I'd be happy to help out. He may or may not become involved in other campaigns of his beloved, you know, like Attorney General Abbott and people like that.
So who else right now is in the Ag Commissioner race?
Well, Sid Miller got in after Brandon Creighton got out.
Yes, right. That's right.
And so why was Creighton getting out?
He wanted to run for – he will be running for Tommy Williams' old Senate seat – or Tommy Williams' Senate seat, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
He'll be vacating soon. So that's what's happening there.
And then as soon as he did that, Steve Toth jumped in and challenged him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, all sorts of weird.
There's all kinds of shake-ups. Political gymnastics going on. Yeah.
Okay,
right
but
now.
Who else in the Ag Commission?
The other
sorry.
Two people
I'm interrupting
are,
you, like Evan.
That's all right.
Harold
the other
Cook
two
is going to be so mad.
I know.
Are Eric Opiella. He's a lawyer and a rancher. And J. Allen Carnes, who is the mayor of Uvalde.
And does not use a period after his first initial.
I know. It's a really interesting name. It's just J. It's just the letter. I keep meaning to ask
It's like
him
Harry
that.
S. Truman.
Yeah, so
what? Harry
know.
S. Truman didn't use a dot after the S?
Isn't that...
Right, but S was his middle name.
Someone's
going
to have
name.
To double check that for us.
I'm sure that it was... Yeah, I'm sure that it stood for something. J doesn't stand for anything is the thing. It's not J-A-Y, like, you know, our reporter J. Root. It's just J.
But that J doesn't stand for anything either.
Any other political...
It's like Evan's here.
Any other political moves? Stephanie Carter got out of the Railroad Commissioner race, and that's mostly a money issue.
Looked like a money issue, but now she's got all these other people, you know, lining up to run for her House seat, and I think that some of them were sending out press releases yesterday saying they're still going to stay in the race. So she may have put herself in kind of a tight spot.
Yeah. I'm... It's still. I'd like to know when the Democrats are going to fill out the rest of their ticket. I mean, I think
yeah,
we all kind of assumed.
Is going to make any kind
well,
of
we all
decision.
Kind of assumed, I think, after at least maybe the week after Wendy Davis officially announced that she was running, that we would start seeing.
Which was almost a month ago.
Right. Right. So we would start seeing who's going to be the Attorney General candidate, who's
right.
going to be the Lieutenant
Mike
Governor.
Collier, who's running, the Democrat running
for
comptroller.
And,
Sam Houston for Attorney General.
Which is just
oh
that,
right, that's right.
And that then, name, how can you not
really?
Win
I
with
thought
that
you were
name?
Joking. Forgot about that.
And then we've got well, we've got Kinky for Ag Commissioner, but
I don't think that counts as
no.
the Democrats filling out their ticket.
No, yes,
but Lieutenant,
of course it does.
I think
he's running. He's running.
Fact
he
that,
could end up on their ticket.
The
have,
fact that
I'm
nothing's
sure the Democrats
happened
have not asked him to run.
The fact that nothing's happened on Lieutenant Governor, I think, is very interesting. I mean, every time I see an email from Leticia Vandepute, it's you know,
I know
Leticia Vandepute would like to make an announcement, and then you open it up, and it's like about Prop 6. It's like, oh, right. damn.
John Cook for land commissioner. Is that right?
I don't know.
Former El Paso mayor. I might just be, I'm making up names over here. No, but the thing is, I think Peggy Fika had a good column about this, where it's just sort of, there hasn't been a lot of, like, overwhelming excitement and as that ballot is filled out.
Right.
Well, and I guess you could say that it's not that Wendy Davis has exactly made a lot of big splashes since her announcement. I mean, instead of going on some kind of you know statewide tour, hitting all these different places. She has gone
she's
around
been
the state,
on the road a
but
lot.
It's mostly been organizing meetings. She's meeting with volunteers. She's like getting the people who will then, you know, and she's doing fundraisers. But I mean, it's not. She's not like making a big event. She's not going to big places where you know people are just going to come in and watch her. And it's just these little meetings across the state to try
she's
to get.
There's a long way to go.
Yeah.
She's not handing the press particularly. Savvily, I've heard.
She kind of messed up last week. Yeah. Was it last week?
Well,
was
she's been
Monday?
Sending out her, I mean, at least until recently, they were giving very short notice for their events, which is like the fastest
well, they,
way to irritate the press.
And
corps.
The bit, you know, she had the event at CLEAT. She was winning, you know, Lawmaker of the Year or something along those lines from CLEAT, the Combined Law Enforcement
Agencies. Association agencies,
of
I don't
Texas,
know.
Yeah.
Something
and,
Texas.
Which is a, I think it's a, I think you can argue it's a legitimizing award. I mean, this is not, you know, the Democratic Women of Travis County giving her something. This is an organization that Republicans are always working with and courting for support.
Surely,
in fact, Attorney General Greg Abbott was speaking at the event later in the day that she was getting this award at. Well, she was supposed to speak at 11:30. She ended up speaking 25 minutes early. She ended up being done by the time she was supposed to start. Half the press corps has other things to do than just follow her around. When they showed up at 11:30, got nothing from her because her speech was already over and her press people said, no, she can't talk to anyone. And they rushed her out the door while we chased her down.
Surely David Dewhurst is that group's number one pick, though.
Oh, Reeve just stole that joke from me.
I did.
It was a good
So maybe
one.
They already knew the news.
What?
Durst is the number one pick of law enforcement.
Well, and they didn't
according
want that question.
According to himself on the phone with the Allen PD.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, Allen PD. I had already forgotten about that.
But Ben, how quickly you forget elected officials trying to persuade law enforcement.
I am in my 40s, so I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that I forget quickly.
Yeah. Ben, that's come how Ross, you're 50.
Oh.
That's how Ross was when he was covering the Pa Ferguson.
Let's hope he doesn't listen to this today.
I don't like being the oldest person here.
You're not. Jay's older.
No, I meant in this podcast.
Oh.
But yeah, so you know that she had a bit of a misstep there, and has a new press person coming in from Washington, not because of what happened at the Cleat event, but has a new press person coming
who
in.
Who is
that? Rebecca something. And I'm just going to go ahead and
Acuna.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sorry,
oh,
Rebecca,
great,
for
man.
Forgetting. Yeah.
Any other final thoughts on any topic? I know, Nina, you had something you wanted to say.
Oh, the Lesser Prairie Chicken. I just really wanted to say the name of the bird and talk about how it has a cool mating dance. But really, actually, the Lesser Prairie Chicken matters because it might be listed as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act next March. And lots of different stakeholders have been trying to make sure that doesn't happen because it matters for the oil and gas industry. It's out in the Permian Basin and all that jazz. And hopefully they've announced a kind of a solution, five states, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Texas have been working on a plan for a long time, and the federal government, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, just endorsed it. So maybe these chickens will not be such a huge issue.
And Reeve would like to know what is unusual about their mating dance.
I didn't say that.
It's pretty wacky, and I think they also like make a weird noise. I have to go out there in the spring, basically, and see this.
It's like Sixth Street.
But they sort of, yes, really. I mean, they sort of ruffle their feathers, and they look pretty wacky. And they also sort of mate in a group, like they have like it's
like Sixth Street,
like Sixth Street. Yeah, pretty much.
I just hope they find a solution that the chickens don't have to go to the greater prairie in the sky.
Oh.
Well, there is also a greater prairie.
But remember,
chicken.
They are
delicious. I don't
understand
these animal names here. It's just, it's odd. But these are this is the lesser prairie chicken.
The chickens from the lesser prairie, not the lesser chickens of the prairie.
Exactly.
They could be.
No,
who knows?
That's really not true at all. I don't know why I said exactly.
Always a good journalistic move.
Well,
yes, that's exactly.
Just nod and smile.
Exactly.
If you have questions or comments about what is and is not exact, you can send them to tribcast@texastribune.org. We would like to thank Shiny Ribs for doing our theme song and encourage you to review us positively on iTunes and negatively nowhere.
And please stay tuned for my special announcement.
Nina will tomorrow. Be announcing her candidacy for Ag Commissioner tomorrow.
Exactly.
On behalf of Emily, Nina, Ben, and our producer, Todd, this is Reeve. Thanks for listening.
Why is that woman singing outside? Haven't you guys heard
I
this
did not
woman
see
singing
her.
All morning?
Do you think you're going insane?